May only His words be spoken, only His words heard. I've said that so many times. Today's message is entitled, Don't Lose Heart. It's from our gospel lesson. A hesitant driver, waiting for a traffic jam to clear, came to stop on the expressway. Have you ever experienced this? If you live in California, this happens a lot, right? Expressway ramp. The traffic thinned, but the timid driver still waited. Finally, an infuriated voice came from behind him, shouting, "The sign says yield, not give up." Perseverance is the theme of this parable, and actually it's a theme running through the whole New Testament. In Hebrews chapter 10, God's word says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Hold on unswervingly. And then it flat out says it in that same chapter, you need to persevere. You need to persevere. Persevere in the faith. Because no matter what's going on right now, Jesus is coming again. His promises, the fulfillment of His word, the last step of our salvation, the putting right of everything will take place. Count on it. It will happen. Isn't it true that we persist in what we truly believe in? Isn't that true? We persist in what we truly believe in. So we persist in prayer because we believe that God listens, loves us, because God acts. Jesus said, ask and it shall be given to you, seek and you shall find, knock and the doors will be opened unto you. Knocking is asking plus acting plus persevering. You keep knocking because you believe that door will be open to you. Can you see what this means? Perseverance equals faith. Perseverance equals faith. You wouldn't persevere unless you had have faith. And for Christians, it means we have faith in Jesus Christ. You believe the gospel that Jesus has taken your sins upon himself, redeemed you, saved you, justified you, and made you a beloved child of God. Now, Jesus introduces this parable to teach his disciples that they should always pray and not give up. The principal characters of the story, well, there's a rotten judge, and there's a seemingly helpless widow. I said seemingly. Right. You know, Jesus is the master of contrast. And if you want to be a good storyteller, you need to be able to succeed in creating contrast and even tension, right? And Jesus is a master storyteller. And just a little flip of a parable, he gets across some tremendous truths. So there is the woman, the widow. She had three strikes against her. First of all, she was a woman. In a biblical world, women were expected to know their place. They were really powerless and they were really defenseless. Do you know that the gospel of Jesus Christ would change the status of women worldwide? In fact, it was the only reason that women in this world rose to equality with men. There was no other philosophy that caused this. There was nothing. No other religion really caused this. And we can see this throughout the world today. It was the gospel of Jesus Christ that raised women to be men's equal. A second strike this woman had against her was that she was a widow. Any status that she might have had disappeared with the death of her husband. She had no one to intercede for her in the decision of this judge. That's two strikes. The third strike was that she was poor. Money would have brought her leverage, would have brought her standing, but obviously she had none. Contrasting with her, we have this poor widow. Contrasting with her is this lousy judge. He was no charmer. He neither feared God nor cared about what people thought who came before him. We can infer that what moved him was money, perhaps, his own comfort and pleasure. But he was up against a woman of dogged persistence. She pestered. She badgered. You ever known a woman like this? Are you married to a woman like this? No. She kept coming and would have beat him down. He endured it for a while. He gives in to her, not because he had a change of heart. No, he didn't have a change of heart. Because it was the least bothersome thing to do. Not because he cared about justice, but because of this irritating woman. Because he cared about his own peace, his own comfort, rather than what she had to say. I can just see it now. Out, out, out. You got what you want. Go. Goodbye. Never come back. Pity your poor husband. No wonder he died. Now the biggest contrast of all between our Heavenly Father and this implacable, this cold-hearted judge. If a rotten-to-the-core judge will give you justice because you pester and control him, how much more will an all-loving, all-compassionate, all-powerful Heavenly Father give us justice and mercy to those who persevere in believing him and cry out to him night and day? Jesus said elsewhere, which of you fathers, when your son asks you for a fish, will give him a snake? No. God knows what we need. He is sensitive to us. The Word of God tells us to approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that you may receive mercy and find grace in your time of need. Pray. What are the lessons that we can take from this very brief parable? There are three really important lessons that we need to apply to our life today. And I hope you walk out of here this morning remembering them and putting them to work in your life. The first one has to do with prayer and the results of our praying. A common complaint that I hear voiced and that I know is out there is I pray, and God doesn't answer. God doesn't answer. Persevering in prayer and faith in Jesus Christ go hand in hand. Prayers by believers are always answered. Prayers by believers are always answered. But all too often we slip into thinking that our prayers can manipulate God to give us what we want or what we think is best. So in essence, we're not praying, "Thy will be done." We're praying, "Thy will be changed." Our trust in God, who knows better, loves more, is deficient. So we conclude he's not answering our prayers when really he is acting in the most loving way toward us. Like the divine parent, he says no. He He says, maybe. He says, later. Praying, now listen to this. Praying most often does not get us what we want. Does not get us what we want, but what God wants. And what He wants for us is always good. Always good. Always the best. We should persevere in praying because God's timing is also involved as well. How many parents have I heard and I've known who have prayed that their prodigal sons and daughters would come back to the faith, would come back to church? But they passed away never seeing that happen. But it did happen. It did happen when they were already in heaven. Their children did return to the faith. Their fervent prayers were answered. And God's timing is always right. I don't know what you're dealing with now, but you keep praying about it. And when we pray about our children, that's a really important prayer, isn't it? We pray and pray and pray. Lord, bring them back to You. Don't quit. He hears. He acts. That's the first lesson. Second lesson, just as important, is that God hates injustice. Throughout the Bible, God displays His anger toward those who take advantage of the weak, the powerless, the poor. God takes the case of the widow, the child, the outcast. He tells us, and write it in indelible ink, that a day is coming when the Son of God will return, and He will turn the tables on this violent and oppressive world. He will right every wrong, and yes, He is coming to punish. Yes, punish the cruel and the evil. And He will save and restore those who trust in Him. He will make everything right again. There's many a person who says, where is the justice? There will be justice someday. There will be. God hates injustice. And we ought to hate it too. And we should work tirelessly to aid and help the vulnerable, the poor, the weak, the defenseless, the unborn. And the final lesson is, we shouldn't lose heart. We shouldn't live with discouragement. Discouragement is a real trap for believers. Is there a lot of things to be discouraged about? Oh, yes, heaven's sakes. Close to home, the world, our nation, whatever. There's a lot of things that are very discouraging. That's why we have to lift our eyes. If our eyes are fixed on all the problems and all the evils of this world, we are bound to be disheartened. But if we fix our eyes on Jesus, we can be encouraged because in Him we see the goodness of God, the plan of God, the great love of God. We don't have to be discouraged. In fact, discouragement can work against God's plan for our lives. My guess is that even non-believers utter a prayer during a crisis. But the followers of Christ, the issue is not prayer in a time of crisis, but prayer as an ongoing pattern of our life. Right? We pray, of course we pray in crisis, but we pray ceaselessly, continually. Someone said, I used to worry about falling asleep during prayer. Any of you do that? You know, you fall asleep during prayer. But then he said this, now as a parent, I understand what parent wouldn't want his or her child to fall asleep in his or her arms. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got you and me in his hands. So here's the lessons. I hope you take them home with you. Persevere in prayer. Trust him. He'll answer you. He will indeed. Number two, God hates injustice. And we ought to hate injustice too and work to relieve it. And number three, don't be trapped in discouragement. Fix your eyes on Jesus. We're in Jesus' hands, so don't lose heart. He's listening. In Jesus' name and to his glory. Amen? Amen. Amen. Please rise. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, now and always. Amen.